Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
And gentlemen, this is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries right here in the Northwest region of Arkansas. It's good to be with everyone today on the 19th day of December 2017. As you may know, that we are right now around the seventh day of the Feast of Hanukkah, and tomorrow when the sun sets, it will be the last of the great celebration of Hanukkah, which is commemorative of a great cleansing of the temple that happened through a Maccabean revolt. Even our Lord Jesus Christ went into the temple during the celebration of Hanukkah when the bold and brave men and women of God took it unto themselves to take back what the enemy had stolen. And so they went in a supernatural miracle of light. And ladies and gentlemen, we are living in the season of let there be light, and that we're going to speak that over the airwaves today right now, and we're also going to pray for Brother Ken Bruns right now in South Dakota, who is undergoing surgery as we speak. And so I want you to join together with me right now, and let's pray for Brother Ken Bruns. This is the husband, of course, of Kathy and Ken Bruns. They are friends of New Wine Ministry. They make many trips down here to the Northwest region of Arkansas to fellowship with the saints that are here. So let's lift up Ken right now in Jesus' name, Father. I know many prayers are gone up for Ken Bruns. Right now, we thank you, Holy Spirit of the living God, for invading that surgical room and inspiring, anointing, and guiding every action. We thank you, Father, for quickening the pace. We thank you that it's simple, that there is no obstruction, and anything that would rise as an obstruction right now will be moved out of the way, that the arteries that are being worked upon, or that one particular artery, will be cleansed, and that all the work that is being done will be perfect in the mighty name of Jesus, that your son may arise and shine and move forward into the destiny that you have for him, and that his family and wife and friends will rejoice that there are yet many years for your son Ken to live upon the earth, to be effective for you and to do the things that you want him to do. So we thank you. We praise you, Heavenly Father. We also pray for Dee, a 95-year-old woman, and we ask this in Jesus' name, that Dee and Ken, also D95, was taken to a hospital. We ask you, Father, for a smooth transition for this dear saint of God that lights up every room she walks into for many, many years, anointed, appointed to serve you, to be a light and a witness to the glory of your son, Jesus Christ. And so, Dee, Lord, we just thank you for taking care of her and being around her in those hospitals and just sending angels. And Lord, I do pray for a particular angel to show up in Ken Brun's surgical room right now, Lord. I just thank you for the angelic visitation. I do thank you, Father, that there are angels on assignment. And I do thank you that your word declares that we all have an angel that has been assigned to our lives. And we acknowledge that. We take it no further, but we do acknowledge the angelic reality of the kingdom of God on the behalf of the heirs of salvation. And so we thank you for these ministering spirits. We thank you, Father, for anybody out there today who is suffering. We thank you, Lord, for those who are awakening today and have had some rough times, but we just thank you that you're making the crooked path straight. That's what God said this morning, to pray for you today, that the crooked path will be made straight, that the weary hands that have hung down will be raised up, and the weak knees will be strengthened, and that God will inspire your life to go on, to move forward in the purposes and in the destiny, calling, and assignment that God has for you. Something is happening at this moment around the world. There are many, many voices that are beginning to proclaim a work of God in the earth. There is balance to everything. And I believe one of the great successes of every true ministry of God is balance. We do not deny today that there are fires that are still burning in California. There's, you know, that state has been on fire. You have three states that have legalized some pretty horrible things, and a day of accountability is here. We do not deny up in Washington that that derailment of a train is a calamity. It is a disaster, and three lives a week from Christmas were taken away. And we do not deny damages and the tragedies and the calamities that are happening around the world. We do not deny that there is a gross darkness that is continuing to envelop men's minds and men's hearts. The God of this world is doing everything in his power to blind the hearts of men, but there is a light shining. And the word of God in history and truth informs us that the darkness has never overcome the light. There are moments of eclipse. There are moments when the light of the sun is darkened, but it is always bright and sunny, even in the darkest days. And when God sends rays of light, this is often equated to rays of hope and happiness and brightness and clarity, and it sweeps away depression and sorrow and confusion. And what you and I need to ask ourselves in the day in which we live, what side of the day are we on? Do we want to walk in the depression, the sorrow, the grief? Do we want to be sourpussed? Or do we want to live in the reality of laughter is like a good medicine? Joy, happiness, peace. Regardless of what is going on in this world, no matter what is going to happen to you or I today, remember, it can be 82 and sunny in your life, in your family, in your heart, in your mind. You can have peace. You can have joy in the Holy Spirit. Regardless of the corruption that you see around you in this world, you can have righteousness in your own heart. Wherever you are, I want you to say these words with me this morning. There be light. When God spoke those words in the Hebrew, there was a release of light, and that light was Christ, and that light of Christ. Yes, it wasn't the sun, moon, and stars. On the first day of creation, when God said, let there be light, that was not the sun, moon, and stars. The sun, moon, and stars were not created until the fourth day of creation, according to Genesis chapter 1. The light that beamed forth out of God was Christ. And that word meant happiness in the Hebrew. And it still means happiness, clarity, brightness. The darkness that covered the earth was the morbidity, the corruption, the evil, the sorrow, the grief, the depression. So the prophet Isaiah cries out in Isaiah chapter 60, "Arise and shine from your bed of depression, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people." See the balance? Light, darkness. Glorious light, gross darkness. The gray zone, wiped out. Decision time is here. What side of the day are you going to live on? What side of this moment am I going to live in? I choose the light because I've been in the darkness. Did the darkness. There's no hope. There's no purpose. There's no destiny. It is a facade. It is cosmetic. It is make-believe. There is no joy in it. It always produces the same result, ultimately, which is death, whether it's mental death, spiritual death, disconnect from the source of life. We have all had our time in the darkness. And if you have ever tasted the light, you would know forever that the darkness, with all of its appeal and allurement to tempt and to draw men's hearts into it, is a damnable lie. It is an eternal destruction. It is a death that is deeper emotionally, spiritually, mentally. For the death within the darkness is not just physical death. We remember that our soul is eternal, and it is going to spend eternity somewhere. And if it is in the darkness, that means it will be in torment and fear and depression and sorrow and grief and condemnation and wrath eternally, without a ray of light for eternity to brighten up the moment. Thank God today that you and I have been in the darkness at times, but light has shined. And out of that gloom and doom, the brightness and the goodness of God and the favor and kindness and love of God that's in Christ Jesus has met us and led us out, literally translated us out of the kingdom of darkness, according to Colossians chapter 1, and has brought us into the light where there's hope and faith and eternal life and peace and joy and the incomprehensible reality of what God has prepared for those that love him. The devil will do everything in his power to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil will do everything in his power to delay, deceive, and distract people from coming fully into the light. It is decision time. Today is the day of our salvation. The night time cometh wherein no man can work. Today we choose life or death. And none of us know what will happen at the end of this day. But we can walk in the light. We can walk in the joy. We can walk in the happiness in spite of our condition. God is fully aware of your condition and my condition. The Spirit of God knows your weaknesses, your strengths, your ups, your downs, your successes, your failures. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about your bloodline, where you came from. He knows everything. He also knows your destiny and what is before you. The Holy Spirit has not been given to you or I to condemn us for our condition. The Holy Spirit has been sent into your life and my life to deal with the condition that troubles us, to change us from our old ways, to change our minds, to change our thinking, to change the pattern of thoughts so we don't think like our mommies and our daddies or our grandmamas and our granddaddies. God has made you to be a unique individual, not to carry out your natural bloodline, but to become engrafted into the very body of Christ, meaning that the blood of a new natured Christ is flowing in you. And there's something unique about your calling. I'd like to say it this way. I want to say it this way. Do you remember in the Garden of Eden? This is some musings from my heart, if you would, but join me in this. Do you remember in the Garden of Eden that God created the man, male and female, Adam and Mrs. Adam, and that he told them, be fruitful, multiply. It was just glorious. They walked with God, but he told them, do not eat of this tree of knowledge of good and evil. He said, for the day that you eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. And dying, you shall die. I mean, this is not good. And so the tempter tempted them to partake. Adam and Mrs. Adam continued to breathe. They were animated, but something died in them. May I suggest to you that what died in Adam and carried down to the race of Adam, all of their offspring, was the link to their connection with their creator. In other words, within the DNA, within the gene, something died. And that death of the gene, that death within the DNA, separated them from God. Something was missing. They feared God. They hid from God. They knew they were naked. Something terrible happened within themselves. Within themselves. Nothing changed externally. Everything was exactly the way it was supposed to be, but the change and transformation came to them because something in them died. And that death of the gene, that death within their DNA, spread to their offspring. And the history of Adam, meaning mankind, from that death is a reality that has been passed on from generation to generation. Now, the good news is that that gene within the DNA that died, that gene, I believe, is Christ, because he is a new creature. He's a new species. Christ, Jesus, is another man. He's the second man from heaven. There are two men. There's Adam and there's Christ. Christ is the firstborn of a new species of man containing within himself the link. And when we receive Christ into our lives, the link is set within us that brings us back to the Father in a work of reconciliation. Think about that. That is absolutely awesome. And think about when Christ comes into the life of the human race in any individual, it is bringing, Christ is bringing that DNA. He's bringing that gene that reconnects us. The thing that died is now made alive again. The gene that died, that disconnected us, is now brought back to life. This is resurrection power. This is the resurrection that the Apostle Paul was talking about in Philippians chapter 3 when he said, I want to know the power of his resurrection. He wasn't talking about a physical resurrection from physical death. He was talking about the out-resurrection from among the spiritually dead. It's exactly what he was talking about. What was Paul saying? The whole human race is spiritually dead. But he recognized that Christ was a new kind of man walking among the spiritually dead who was quickened into a life. Paul said, I want to know that life. I want to know that resurrection life. I want to know because Jesus is fully connected to the Father. There is no DNA gap. There is no missing link. Christ is that link. And when Paul received Christ, he wanted to come to that place of being fully in tune with, fully reconnected with the Father. And so if Christ be in you, dear friend, I've got news for you. The link to God's original intent for man is in you. That link, that Christ, that DNA, that gene is now awakened and quickened, which brings you back to a relationship with your Father that Adam had in the garden that was disrupted because of sin. But now the sin issue has been dealt with. Christ in you, the hope of glory, and the ultimate hope is the restoration of a relationship that God has for you. Now, God loved you and I, and that's why God sent that gene back into the world. Because men today want an Aryan race. They want a pure race. The mixed races are no good, right? So man's trying to create a superhuman by getting the best of the gene pool. But the very best, remember, it's good and evil. The very best still is in death. You can't have a superhuman being with the death within the gene pool of a fallen Adam. The only way to bring back and to recreate that man that God originally intended was realized fully in Jesus. Now Christ is in you, which means that gene is at work in you, reconnecting, reforming, restoring, regenerating, regenerating, if you will. Another musing of my heart I'd like to share with you here for just a moment is the reality of what I believe is so crystal clear in the scriptures, and yet it's never really talked about. Have you ever wondered why, when Adam was thrust out of the garden, right? God said, man, under these conditions, we cannot afford for you to eat of the tree of life. So we're going to get you out of the garden because in your fallen state, if you eat of the tree of life here, there's no way to, you know, to deal with this issue. So for God, for his own reasons, we know this. Adam was thrust out of the garden. But I want to ask you a question. Do you believe that Adam was just Mr. and Mrs. Adam? Or do you believe that while Mr. and Mrs. Adam were in the garden, they were doing what God created them to do and told them to do, which was what? Remember, in the garden, God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Now, I believe personally that when Adam and Mrs. Adam were in the garden, they did exactly that. They were reproducing after their kind. And that's what everything in creation does. So when Adam and Mrs. Adam, in the perfection of what God created, reproduced, they gave birth to offspring that carried the DNA before they had fallen, which means everyone that was born of them was like them. And I believe that the garden was populated with Adam, the race of Adam. Adam meaning man, male and female, created he them. I believe that that garden, wherever it was, whatever it was a populated garden with a family. And I also believe that for this reason, because when God thrust Adam, not only mom and dad, but the offspring, the family of Adam, he thrust them out, that race of man, that pure race of man that God created was scattered, but it was broken. Remember, the DNA was affected. The gene was dead. So now they're gone with fear, because that's what was in mom and dad. They're hiding from God. They've lost their understanding. They're no longer operating in light and truth. And the devil is very active. Now, the reason why I believe that there was a race of Adam that was thrust out of the garden, it scattered around the world, is because the very first thing that happened when Adam and Mrs. Adam, mom and dad, were outside of the garden in their fallen state, they gave birth to Cain and Abel. And you remember what happened with Cain and Abel. Cain murdered his brother. And when God found him out, he put a mark on him and cursed his life to be a vagabond and all these different things, a wanderer, a vagabond. We're told that Cain left the environment of his mother and father, and he went to the land of Nod, and he took to himself a wife. My question is, well, where did the wife come from? Where did the land of Nod come from? And then he and his wife gave birth to a son, and they built a city. There's a lot to talk about here, but the major point is, where did that daughter come from? Where did that woman come from in the land of Nod? Again, I believe that the race of Adam was thrust out of the garden, and what happened with that pure race that was in the garden that was likened unto Adam and Mrs. Adam, that pure race is now broken and darkened. They're scattered. Cain comes along. The devil has place in Cain's heart. He murders, and then Cain goes and marries one of the daughters, and there's a mixture that begins in the race. And through the time, Cain and his wife bringing forth a son who builds a city, and all of a sudden rises the dominion and the governments, and it leads into Nimrod. And we have mixture. Now we come up with not a pure race, but now we have every color in the world, every language in the world, every culture in the world, every nation in the world, all so very different through the mixing, right? Now, the race that God created is not necessarily the color of a man's skin or woman's skin. The race that God had created was an inward character, a divinity, a divine nature, if you will. And that is what has been lost, but that is what Christ has brought the world in which we live. Now, why am I musing about these things? Why am I thinking about these things? Well, I was up all night last night. I have not slept. I have been awake, and everything is well. There's no problems. But I started reading, and I want to read to you where I was all night last night. And I really want to give you the tone of what God was saying. It's a story you have heard I don't know how many times. It's something we've been hearing as kids, but there's something in this within the tone that I believe needs to be discovered and revealed. So I want to read to you two chapters, and these two chapters are in the book of Genesis, and I want to begin in chapter 6 in verse 1. The story of all stories, right? It says here, "It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. Now I want you to know that some of the sages and some of the ancient thinkers with the rabbinical thought that 120 years, some say, well, that is every man and woman is going to live to be 120 years old. But some have connected the idea of 120 jubilees, because if you multiply, which is very interesting, a jubilee year, which is 50, and you multiply 120 times 50, it brings you to the number 6,000. 120 times 50 is 6,000, and it's been 6,000 years of man's history on the earth. And we know that God created the heavens and the earth and everything in them in 6 days. One day is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day. So 6 days is 6,000 years. And the rabbis believe that we would, at the end of 6 millennial days, 6,000 years, there would be a Sabbath rest, which is consistent with the book of Revelation about the 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ. We're in the time frame. No calendar is perfect, but we're close. We're in the ballpark here. But that's not what I want to talk about. I want to move on. It says there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. So what happened here? There's a whole story, right? There's a whole dash. What happened here? Man became wicked, and God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. I want you to get the tone here of what's being said. I know you know the story. The Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repents me that I have made them. But Noah, in the eyes of the Lord, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. The door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. With lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with you will I establish my covenant, and you shall come into the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shall thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be food for you and for them. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So did he. What an amazing story, is it not? God has made a determination. He's not asking for intercession. He is not asking for anybody to stand in the gap. He's not going to the one righteous man and saying, I want you to be a priesthood to the earth, and I want you to stand in the gap and pray my wrath away. I want you to pray for conviction. I want you to pray for repentance. I want you to pray for salvation of the lost masses. No, God made a determination. God, the judge of all, the creator of all, the only one that has a right? He's the only one that has a right to destroy what he created. He's the potter. We're the clay. He could do whatever he wants. And we know that he's a God of love. And so we know that every decision that he makes is perfect. And it says here in chapter 7, verse 1, the Lord said unto Noah, come, thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female, of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. Don't think for a moment that this homosexual agenda in the world is not a satanic attempt to destroy life. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, into the ark, because of the waters of the flood, of clean beasts, and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls, and of everything that creeps upon the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. It came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind and all the cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth after his kind, every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. They went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. They went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth. And the waters increased and bare up the ark. And it was lifted up above the earth. And for all of you that believe that, you know, Science Today is saying that this was just a localized flood, listen carefully. Verse 18. The waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. And all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. All the high hills, all the mountains that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail. The mountains were covered, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl, cattle, and of beast, and of every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. In chapter 8, verse 1, God remembered Noah. Now, the thing that is striking about the story is when I turn to the Gospel of Luke. Words here. Four little words. Three particularly. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, I'll just read it right there in verse 26. Luke 17:26 says, these are the words of Jesus. This is after the flood, thousands of years down the road. Jesus is talking about the end of time. And here's what Jesus said. And as it was in the days of Noah. Here's the words. Here's the four words. So shall it be. Let me focus on the three words. So shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also. Now that phrase, shall it be, is esomai. Esomai. Word simply means will be in the future. Will be in the future. The root of that word is amy, amy, and it means it's going to happen. It is going to happen. What is going to happen? Well, we go back and Jesus tells us in Luke 17:26, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Watch now. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and what? Destroyed them all. That was the tone of what we were reading in Genesis 6 and 7, if you took note. The tone was the absoluteness of God's words and message to Noah, I will destroy man and every living thing. I will destroy. That word, destroy, is very powerful. In the Greek, the word destroyed is apulimi. You know, it's from Apollyon, if you really get down into this. And apulimi actually means to cause to perish, to destroy fully. I mean, it's something final here. Now, here's an interesting thing that we should take note of as well, and this is important, because we're told in 2 Peter a mystery. So we should not be thinking about a flood, for God balances his word, and he says this in 2 Peter chapter 3. And this is important for our understanding, for where we are. He says in verse 5, 2 Peter 3, 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Here's the Greek word. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, in other words, God's determination, are kept in store, reserved. The heavens and the earth are kept in store, they're reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So the scriptures are telling us the exact same thing that God did in the days of Noah, which was destroy everything that was corrupt and wicked, is exactly what he's going to do in the days of Jesus, in his time of his coming. God used the mechanism of water in the days of Noah, but he tells us the mechanism of judgment in the last days will be the mechanism of fire. And I want you to know, when that determined time comes that is only in the hand of God, he will not be calling forth intercessors. He will not be telling men and women to stand in the gap. He will be telling people to build an ark, to prepare for what he is warning them coming. Understand that there were people in the world mocking and scoffing Noah for 100 years while he was building the ark. And he was preaching what is right. And he was declared righteous in his generation. You know what that tells me? It tells me that the righteous that live on the planet in the hour in which we live, the righteous, the genuine righteous, are preparing their arks because they're witnessing the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And this is what Jesus was saying. Build your ark, preach righteousness, warn the wicked of the day of judgment, but prepare. Don't lollygag, don't hang out, don't chill out. Yes, live life abundantly. Christ has granted that. Don't live life like a sourpuss, like you've been baptized in lemon juice and, you know, you've been weaned on a pickle. Don't get all sourpussed. Get happy. Start laughing, rejoicing, praising God, brightness, comprehension, light, beauty, love, peace, joy. Yes, that is all part of the righteous's reality, but determination and preparation. Why? Because the earth is under a sentence. It's reserved, kept, reserved unto fire. And what is that fire? Well, it continues on in verse 8 of 2 Peter chapter 3. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the Father's heart. The Father doesn't want anybody to perish, because it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing to perish, to be disconnected, never rejoined through the gene of Christ back to the Father, because the eternal soul will go on without it, but there'll be no light. It'll be eternal darkness. So God doesn't want that. He's calling all men everywhere. For 2,000 years, he's suffered all these things to go on in the world. Why didn't he destroy it 2,000 years ago under the Roman Colosseum and the Roman power? Why didn't he destroy it during the Dark Ages or during the Reformation or during the, you know, whatever time, World War I, World War II? You know, the blasphemy that has risen, the unholiness, the corruption, the violence that's filling the earth. Why didn't God do it when we thought he should do it? Because he doesn't want anybody to perish. So he's brought the word, the gospel, through the mechanism of television, radio, news, whatever. He's raised up a voice in the earth warning. But the time is drawing near. The time is drawing near. And I believe that there's going to be one final explosion of God's grace to the nations of the earth in a final attempt to shake people loose from eternal death. Because here's what's coming. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Fire is coming. Nuclear fire? What kind of fire? Only God knows. God sent fire into Sodom and Gomorrah. There was no nuclear bomb in those days. And yet fire fell from heaven and destroyed everything in Sodom and Gomorrah. In fact, if we go back to Luke chapter 17, it says in verse 29 or verse 28, likewise also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. I would not be wrong by saying many are going to be destroyed in this world. Destruction. Man is killing himself. Satan is killing. I mean, there's a... And yet the population is growing near to 7 billion. But when God's hand moves, nothing will survive. And if we're not prepared, how do we survive a global conflagration? How do we survive? The same way Noah did in an ark. It was a piece of wood. It was just built the way God's... But when God destroyed the whole earth, he didn't rapture Noah out of the earth, he put him in an ark. And if God tells you to get an ark and to put it with food and water and get yourself medical supplies and put it in a certain spot that God decrees, God will mark that territory, cover that territory, and keep you safe, even if it's your own apartment building, if that's where God tells you to build your ark. Right? But you got to have enough supply to go through the storm that's coming, the storm of violence, the destruction that's on the way, because it's not just a short-lived thing. It's a duration of time. But I want to leave the broadcast today. I want to share these words with you. These words were written in 2006. Stand upon your feet, sons and daughters of the living God, for it is decreed by the voice of Almighty God, the creator of the universe, that the words he has spoken shall not return unto him empty. For every word of the Lord shall be fulfilled in its time. This is the dispensation of the fullness of times, the season wherein all that God has promised shall surely come to pass. Expect a miracle. Who? Sons and daughters of the living God. Expect to see the face of your God in this hour and listen carefully with your spirit, and you will hear the voice of your Father saying, come up here unto my throne, sit with me, for you are my beloved sons and daughters in whom I am well pleased. Sit with me and reign, for you have learned to rule in the midst of your enemies. Now come and rule over your enemies. This is the third day, and it is a day of power, and my infusion of strength and might within the heart and soul of my people will not be denied. Yet I would call to you this day from the depths of your own heart and say unto you, believe. I loose your faith this day. I release your faith and grant unto you the gift of faith to believe all that the prophets have spoken. I release in you the name of Jesus Christ. I release you into the fullness of the blessing of God. I release you into the function, into the purpose, and into the design and plan of God for you at this time. I say unto you, at this time, to arise and go forth out of the house of bondage. I say unto you to arise from the depression and prostration in which the circumstances of your life have kept you down. For this is the hour that the screeching sound, the blowing of the trumpet, has reverberated throughout the spirit realm. Those who have ears to hear are awakening to the sound, and the wise are going forth to encounter their God. The foolish are asking for the oil of others, but to no avail. I say unto you, arise and come forth. This is the time, this is the hour. Only by hearing and seeing in the spirit will you be loosed from the dungeons of darkness, the hardships of the wilderness, and be released into the fullness of the promise. Yet I say to many that have been in the promised land that you have not yet possessed it. You have allowed the foreigners to remain. You have not burned with fire the idols, and you have not yet destroyed the altars that were built unto another god. These altars and idols are snares and pricks. I say unto you who live in the promised land to possess the land. Herein is the foolishness of the virgins. They did not possess the anointing that destroys the yoke, but played with religious thoughts and ideas. These have dreamed a dream, but did not move into the reality of the day. This is the day of redemption. The foolish have not the power to arise and have not the light of truth to guide them. Those who are wise are being taken into realms of glory, divine, so quickly that the foolish cannot keep up. As I said to the Pharisees that they could not go where I was going, so it is today that many who are religious cannot come where the true in heart are going. Listen. Now to the voice of wisdom and receive counsel from the Most High God. I say unto you that there is time, there is a space of time right now for you to dig deep the well of your heart and receive and release the oil that will cause you to ascend and go forth in an encounter with God. Truly the time has come, saints of God. Truly the time has come. For no man knows the day or hour, but there is a knowledge of the season. The season has come. We are in it. No man knows how long the season will remain. But know this, that the door is open. The way into the throne room is made available. It has been for 2,000 years, but few have known and fewer have entered in. So the Lord has spoken in terms we could understand. He has time defining this generation and calling the generation of the upright, who shall be the last generation, the generation that will not be refused, for this is the end of times. To this generation, the Lord has spoken of the open door, but still many are refusing to enter through it because they cannot see it, for they are looking for an actual door. Yet I would say unto you that Jesus Christ is the door. Ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes right now. Just say that right now. Holy Spirit, open my eyes. Ask him to open your ears, even to hear this message. For this is a message from the Spirit of truth calling you to an open heaven. Stir up the gift of God within you. beloved. Be stirred in your hearts. Put away those things that do not profit and go forth to encounter your God. Ladies and gentlemen, I do hear the sound of an abundance of rain. And that rain is the Holy Spirit of God being poured out upon the nations of the earth. Because remember, it is not Father's desire that any would perish, but that all would. Every moment we have until the day that the door is shut and God locks us in the ark like he did Noah, we must go forth and win souls. We don't prophesy to the hilarity and the hilariousness of religious things. This is a critical time in the history of the human race, for God has determined to put an end to things as we know them so that his eternal purpose and plan will commence. And that will begin in the most obvious and awesome way at the second coming of Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns, the dead in Christ will rise. We who are alive and remaining will be caught up to meet them in the air. We will go on with the Lord as he comes to destroy the Babylonian world system. And we will be with him for 1,000 years, ruling and reigning his government over the earth in a Sabbath rest after 6,000 years of men's failure to get it right. God is ready to move on. I believe he is warning us. He's telling us he's not going to pour his spirit out just because. He's going to win souls. And it is your soul that God is after today. God is saying, get off the line, get off the fence, make a decision. It's not about what your plans are, what you think God's going to do. Surrender to God and let him do whatever he wants to do in your life. It's not about your skills and your abilities and your talents. It's not about you. God will plant something in you that has been missing. For some of you, something has been missing. And God is saying that the missing has been the gene that connects you back to God. And that gene is Christ. And he wants to put that gene in you. So open your heart today fully unto the Lord and say, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me for my sin of rebellion and disobedience and unbelief and all the other stuff that I've done. Lord, forgive me. I receive your grace. Come as the gene that connects me back to the Father. Come with the gene that resurrects and quickens and makes alive again in my own life what was dead because of the sin of Adam. Bring it into my heart. Now is the day, ladies and gentlemen. You and I may not have tomorrow, but we have right now. And if you're stuck like Chuck and you don't know the way out, in 3.5 minutes, my beloved wife, Patricia Joy Xavier, is going to be teaching out of her book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, and showing you how to get out of the satanic web, how to get out of the satanic knots. This is what God has determined for you and I today. We'll be right back. When I return, it will not be me, but the other half of me, the better part of me, Patricia Joy Xavier. We'll be right back. God bless you. Shalom.
Hi, this is Pastor Vincent Xavier. Paul and I want to personally thank you for tuning in and listening to The Watchman. We depend on you to help spread the word and support our radio ministry. There are 4 ways you could get involved right away. Number 1, pray. Nothing moves mountains like the prayerful support of the saints. Second, help spread the word. Share the URL, omegaradio.org, with your friends on Facebook and through your email. Tell them you're listening like your life depends on it, and they should too. Third, you can partner with us. If this program ministers to you, then click the Donate tab and prayerfully consider a donation to help us expand this program and build our radio studio. Whether it's a one-time gift or a monthly pledge, every dollar will be used to better equip you, the saints. Just go to our Donate tab on the homepage. We thank you in advance and may God richly bless you.
Do you enjoy listening to The Watchman? It's our goal on each and every show to interpret the latest news and events through a biblical lens, but we're not alone. In fact, we have an army of like-minded radio hosts, ministers, and prophets to better equip you, God's people, to learn and take action when and where it's needed. Click the lineup tab on our homepage to see a full listing of daily programs. Whether it's Rick Wiles on True News or Jay Sekulow with the ACLJ, we work together to bring you Omega Radio Network 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, anywhere in the world. Please join our effort to help spread the word and support this radio ministry. Send us an email and tell us what's on your mind and how this network is ministering to you. Then call into The Watchman weekdays 2 to 4 p.m. Central Time and join the conversation. We want to know what you think. The number to call is 818-369-0326, then hit 1, or go back to omegaradio.org and hit the call-in button, then press 1.
Blessings to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. What an edifying and encouraging word we just heard. And how blessed are we to be able to be sore encouraged. It is an amazing thing what God has done for those who love him. He is bringing us, body of Christ, and those who are listening from glory to glory. I am Patricia Xavier, and I'm co-pastor with Pastor Vincent Xavier. And today we will be discussing and reading from my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. We have just finished chapter one, Laying Down the Foundation. And let me say that it is a wonderful understanding to know that we could be free of every bondage, every, not some, all. When those who came to our Lord Jesus Christ when he walked the face of the earth and told him what their bondage was, he healed each and every one. Not one was not healed. The doctrines of this world today in the church tells us that some could be healed. I want you to know that that is not the truth. And I want you to know that all that came to him were healed. An even greater understanding we must have is that not only were all of them healed, but they were in their sin condition when they came to him. But they came by faith. Faith that he can do a miracle for them. And he had the power over the enemy to do so. Well, guess what? So do you. If you received him as your personal Savior and been blessed with his Holy Spirit, you have the same power granted to you over the works of the evil one. In fact, this is his kingdom teaching to us and his greatest desire. We had discussed in the first chapter, laying down the foundation, is that in the interest of Satan and his angels, it is their interest to keep us in a fallen state of existence through deception and darkness caused by a lack of knowledge. That's why the Lord had me write this book. He said to me, my people, yes, my people, not the people of the world, but my people perish from a lack of knowledge. Therefore, tell them my heart and my word so that they understand that that no longer has to be a problem for them. And regardless of whether or not we have received Jesus by the profession of our mouth, it is still the same. We perish from a lack of knowledge. It is in the interest of the devil's working for Satan to keep that dark, fallen existence active in our soul. We discussed a lot about that yesterday. And also that the true believer becomes equipped through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's the gifts granted unto you through his authority to recognize these evil spirits and to successfully war against them, not with question, have I been able to, but with the knowledge that I am able to. This active warfare takes place in the soul of the believer, and we discuss that also. Can Christians have demons? We have active warfare that takes place in the soul of the believer. Where is your soul? Is it within you? Is it carried by your spirit? I don't believe it's out in some never-never land. It's within you because it is synonymous with the mind. Where's your mind? Is it within you or is it out in some never-never land? It's within you. And that's where the warfare is ensuing. But I gave information as to how we can cast those spirits out and be set free. They came, cues us. They come to bring fear into the depths of our soul. Yes, our soul. But the Word of God tells us that our Lord didn't give us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. So why would we have any other mind? Well, we're going to discuss more of this in chapter 2 of my book, Spiritual Warfare. Devils are our spiritual enemies. The problem with the church is they don't believe in devils anymore. If you look all around you, what do you see? People acting like demons, correct? There's a reason for that, because they are still in existence. Let's talk a little bit about this. And I ask you to please hear me. Devils are the spiritual enemies of the body of Christ, of the world. But the world is not aware. And it is our responsibility to deal with them. We have been granted the power thereof. Remember what is written in Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, in other words, human beings, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness. Who do you think those forces are? They're in the heavenly places, not in the heavenly places of the third heaven, where exists the kingdom and the greatness and the power and the courtrooms of our Lord, but in the heavenly realm that we see and look at. And then within that part, which is one we see and look at, there's another part in the realm of the spirit called the second heaven. And that is where they exist. And they come back and forth in that spiritual realm. And as the Holy Spirit said to Paul in Ephesus, or in to the Ephesians, the way we wage this warfare is through the Spirit. But it has to be holy, because the reason is that there are many spirits, holy and unholy. We have to be able to recognize the difference. And the only way is through the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of the living God, our Heavenly Father, granted to us through the baptism as we ask for it. Our job is to learn how to wage the war and fight the good fight, as Paul instructed Timothy. And you can see it in Timothy 4:7, if you would read your word. We were instructed to fight this warfare, are the army of the Lord, if we chose to do and to be. We must also remember that a devil oppressing a believer is an illegal trespasser. He is an alien taking residence by unlawful means. We have to recognize our legalities as Christians, what we have been granted through the courtrooms of heaven. but we have still stayed in a watered-down word without power because we have not been taught. We have not been shown by the ministers of the church the power that we have been granted. Now, not all churches are in that realm, but the multitude are. And God is saying, open the eyes that cannot see and the deaf ears that cannot hear, and bring my divine wisdom to those who love me, that they may understand and learn my ways. And this is why I wrote the book. This is what it's all about, body of Christ, and those who are listening who haven't yet accepted him as their personal savior. But my great suggestion is that you do, so you understand the deep things of the spirit. We must also remember that a devil oppressing a believer is an illegal trespasser. And as explained in chapter 1, we have been purchased with the dear price that Christ paid on the cross by the shedding of his blood. Why the shedding of his blood? From the beginning of time, there has been animal sacrifices with the shedding of blood as a foretaste of what was to be with our King of Glory, Jesus Christ. It takes the shedding of blood to be able to understand the deeper things of the Spirit and to receive that. It is, however, up to the Christian now to demand his rights, because Jesus Christ paid the price. He shed his blood. He purchased us with his dear blood and dear price. Christ paid it on the cross by the shedding. It is a deep understanding in any group who has studied the deep ways of the shedding of blood. Understand. And as I said, it's been from the very beginning of time. Let's look at the work of a devil. A devil cannot reside within a Christian if he knows his rights and commands the alien to depart from his property, not in his name, not in his own power, but in the name of Jesus. That name is above every name. This takes faith in the authority, our legal rights, which we have been given. It has been given to us in Christ Jesus, and faith to believe in the power of his name. That name is above every name, in heaven, under heaven, in the earth, under the earth. That name is the most glorious, most powerful name that exists for the casting out of demons and the healing of any individual who believes in it. We must realize that the devil will consider the body of a person his house. We talked about this in chapter 1. He will see it as his earthly home. If he is allowed in and the Christian does not cast him out, that will be his state. Now remember, and don't forget, that these devils will wander through dry places after they have been cast out, seeking whom they can enter into. They will go to and fro upon the earth, desiring as a roaring lion to take hold of an individual's being, spirit, mind, and body if allowed. If they find an unsuspecting and uninformed Christian with the door left open through sin, and many are in the great deception that there is no sin anymore, they will enter in because of the deception, and they will have their most treasured experience. People may look normal to you, body of Christ, But if you look deep enough and you have the discernment of the Holy Spirit, you realize that there is something wrong with them. There is something wrong in their life. And yes, no one's perfect, but there is a way out from having something wrong in your life and becoming such an incredible, wise, and loving individual that you yourself will not begin to understand what is happening to you. The love that you will receive will take out all shadows of darkness which come forth from the enemy. So if they find an unsuspecting and uninformed Christian with a door left open through sin, they will enter in and they will find glee in doing so. They are tormentors and they are accusers. And as Jesus said in Matthew 12:43-45, now when the unclean spirit, that unclean spirit is called the devil because he has nothing clean about him, goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to my house from which I came. So you may have had an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ at one time, and it left and went wandering through dry places, but it hasn't stopped watching to see whether or not there's a possibility to enter back in. And when the sin of unbelief has come back into your heart, it will say, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds it unoccupied. In other words, not filled with the Holy Spirit and not informed of its legal rights, swept clean and put in order. In other words, religious but ignorant of the word. Then it, the devil, the demon, goes and takes along with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself. And they go in and live there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. Jesus finishes by reminding us, that is why and that is the way it will also be with this evil generation that we are in right now. Evil is getting darker and it's having an incredible hold on this world right now. Coming out from the pit of hell, angry, knowing that his time is limited. The devil knows that he isn't going to be around much longer. He's not going to be staying around much longer. He wants all he can dwell in now and take with him at the end of it all, that he may have his kingdom. He is jealous. He is angry. The Holy Spirit is his worst enemy, and he is afraid and fearful. But greater is he that is in you, if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, than he that is in the world, according to the word of God. That you have the power to cast him out. You have the power to eliminate him in your life. You have the power to walk in your high place as an overcomer, going from glory to glory in the kingdom of God, the power of the living Lord within you. He is looking for a people. He is looking for a remnant to say yes and amen to this and to know that it is true and to believe in him. For he has given you that right by the sacrifice he made on the cross for your sins to make you a holy and pure person filled with knowledge and wisdom and glory. Oh, body of Christ, oh, people who are listening, please understand what took place on that cross. Don't be limited in your mind and listen to those who have no knowledge of it. Listen to those who have knowledge of it. The religiosity of this world has killed many Christians, bringing ignorance to their life. And those who have been deceived by by occult spirits, and many churches are going in that direction. But the Word of God gives us knowledge about it. And again, the devil goes and takes along with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself to come into a house that has been swept clean by religiosity but never received the true Holy Spirit by faith. And they go in and live in you again. They live there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. And Jesus finishes it and reminds us, that is the way it will also be with this evil generation. Generation we're in is evil. There have been generations in the past that have been greater and more holy since the reform, but it has slipped into deception, the great deception. And it was meant to be, but it doesn't have to be you. It doesn't have to be me. It has already been prophesied to do so in the book of Revelation, in the book of Daniel, in Matthew 24, in Mark 13, Luke 21, and many other scriptures. If you learn and have the Holy Spirit to show you the revelation of His Word, we have to know our legal rights. And we have to know how to cast out the unwanted spirits. We must continue to keep ourselves in a state of alert preparedness, as any army of God would do, and to keep the intruders out of our dominion. We have been given a dominion, and it's the dominion of the living God. It is so wonderful and powerful, but that's another teaching in itself. And as you know, Jesus Christ had no sin in him. Or perhaps you don't know. He had no sin in him. He went through everything we have been through. He came to this earth to be familiar with our sufferings. He has been through everything we have been through. But he had not sin. And when Satan came, he could find no sin in him. And the word says that when Satan came, he could find nothing. Nothing. No sin in him. The same is said about us in 1 John 15:18, that he who keeps himself, when the devil comes, could not find anything in him. And he will be kept, that individual, by the word that is rich within him from the works of the evil one. It's the same for us. But we have to fill our house, our body, our being with the word of God. We have to be among those where the word becomes flesh within us. There's a way given to us if we would only understand it. Not by religiosity of this world, not by New Age concepts and ideas, but by the truth of the living Holy Spirit and the living God that had made it possible for us to know. It is so much greater than anything else that I had mentioned. The evil spirit could not trespass on the holy ground, your holy ground, because Jesus was without sin. He could not trespass on holy ground and knew his legal rights. Jesus said in John 8:28, I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father has taught me. Well, the Father is teaching you the same, in the same way. Because Jesus sent his Holy Spirit to you to know and to do that which he did when he walked the face of the earth. He said, greater things shall you do than I have done, because he sent it to many. Do you believe this? We would do well if we would follow the same rule. So on this holy and prepared ground of Jesus, the evil spirits cannot trespass or could not trespass. Neither can they trespass upon you if you are prepared. Do you understand the wisdom of God in this and what he has given us? Folks, do you understand what I am trying to tell you? Do you believe the word, or do you find your own belief because you believe you are God? God forbid any of us, outside of the one who paid the great price, should be gods. I look at my life, and I certainly don't want to be a god. I wouldn't have the ability to be one, and you don't either. Have the ability to be a god, God forbid. What a mess this world would be in, much worse than it is for those who refuse the true God. So if you are prepared, the devil can't trespass upon you either. If you kept yourself by the word of God and washed yourself clean by his word, your soul realm is pure and holy, waiting to receive all of the goodness of his spirit and love. And you become likened unto him, walking on the face of this earth, not in later time when you die and pass on, but now. And I dare say, this generation is going to be alive at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to see it with our own eyes. Now, you must know that these evil spirits, devils, do not hover around the Christian or people, even if they're not, if they're worldly, but they seek to enter into the soul realm and take up residence within the Christian who has left an opening through sin and through anyone in the world who is sinning. Remember that they are spirit, and they will go and connect themselves anywhere they can have a legal right by our permission through sin. Sin is ugly. Sin keeps us from the truth. Sin is deceptive. Sin isn't even real. It's a deceiving spirit. One who does not claim true truth. And as I have mentioned, by our permitting sin, we allow them in. As I have mentioned, this concept of hovering spirits is not true and cannot be found in the scriptures. We can all agree that Satan can do a more devastating job from the inside than he could by having the devil's spirits just hanging around and hovering over us. He's spirit, and he comes in. He can go anywhere he wills to go if it is permitted through sin. And many Christians are in sin. They haven't yet died to their sin nature because of erroneous teachings within the church. I cannot say it enough. Again, not all churches are like that, but too many have watered down the word of God, and the ministers of those churches are not even aware. But God has a remnant people. He has remnant ministers that will teach you the truth in Yeshua's name. Now, the time is coming to a close, but I want to say this to you. If you have questions regarding what you have heard, please email me. If you wish to order a book, I will transform your life if you read it. I will transform it from what you are reading within it. Email me at patriciajoyxavier@gmail.com. Xavier is spelled X-A-V-I-E-R. Again, this book will transform your life. I promise you. Be willing to read it. And bless you. And thank you for listening in this time. There are wonderful things that lie ahead for you if you would just believe.
When the river runs, when the river runs, I want to be. Where the river flows, where the river flows, I want to go, I want to go. Where the river runs, where the river runs, I want to be, I want to be.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.